This night's all about mystery, Anna. Don't you
know?
Anticipation.
That's my biggest fear.
We should have a murder mystery party. That would be so much fun.
Downtown, they need like a murder mystery dinner.
That sounds fun. Have you done one before?
I volunteer.
They're worthwhile. You're doing it?
I volunteer.
To die or to murder?
I volunteer as tribute.
I volunteer for Jordan.
Jared. We agree.
I have my own coffee.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. Coffee.
Don't say it's
British. Hey, you know, I get it. Sometimes it comes out. Ephesians 6.
I know it looks like I'm in Scorpion, but I promise I'm not.
Yes.
I know, but we, like, we're back here, so. I'm assuming that's where you're going.
You mean going to the whole armor?
Which is, I mean,
we've kind of been stuck in there for a while.
So who knows?
Who knows?
Turn to Revelation.
Left turn. Alrighty, Ephesians chapter 6. We will start off, same place we always start off. Oh, we'll start in verse 12. Or 11, my bad. Okay, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All righty. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to get into your word, Lord. I pray you bless this time, bless the words. Just have your spirit be here, Lord, and help us to just know you more through this time and spend some time actually thinking about life and about some of the things we're going to talk about tonight, Lord. In your name, amen. All righty. So, all righty. Feet, or what is it? Take the helmet of salvation. All right. Okay, get saved. Cool. Go home. End of lesson. That's good, right? No. Okay. Flip to 1 Thessalonians 5. So we're going to look at this a little bit more.
What you said, take what?
The helmet of salvation. It's from Ephesians 6, verse 17. Okay, so, I don't know about you guys, if you've ever looked at this, but the helmet of salvation, I feel like that's the piece of armor that I've always kind of skipped over, right? You're like, alright, I'm saved. Cool, check that one off. I guess I can just count myself at least as having one piece of armor on. And that is, I mean, to a degree, that is a piece of armor, right? If you're not saved, what's a soldier without a helmet, right? Especially back in the time when the Bible was written, when you're doing hand-to-hand combat, if you don't have a helmet, you're as good as dead, right? Sans funky helmet, right? But, so first of all, obviously, without salvation, you're essentially dead. And without a helmet in combat, you're essentially dead. So, I mean, you can take that and run with it. But I think there's a little bit something deeper that we can go for all of us Christians. If you're saved here today, there's more to putting on the helmet of salvation than just being saved. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8, we'll start there. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Right? That's exactly what we talked about earlier. Breastplate, right? Helmet. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even also as ye do. So, what does this talk about? It says, no longer, it doesn't just say the helmet of salvation, right? It says, look at it, going back up to verse 8, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, what does the word hope mean? Someone, let's go. Let's start giving definitions.
Glimpse of light.
Glimpse of light. That's pretty fancy.
Thank you.
Someone else, what's the definition for hope? If you were to explain that to someone, what is hope?
Believing in something.
Okay. What else? Anybody else got a different definition?
A wish or a dream.
A wish or a dream, yep.
Your heart makes.
Watching Cinderella? That's what I was thinking of. Anybody else got a contribution to make? What is a wish or a dream? Or what is a hope?
Well, I was going to give you the actual definition, but it won't load.
Well, here's the sneaky thing. Just because the modern Webster says one thing does not mean that that's what the Bible means.
True.
So, that's the sneaky thing. Okay. So, and this is kind of what I thought, and Macy might have jumped ahead a little bit. She might have been too smart for her own good, but hope. I think we often think of that word kind of in the same way as like wish, right? That's how we use it in the modern day world. You say, oh, I hope I get nice presents at Christmas, right? I hope that we're having spaghetti for dinner, right? It's a wish, right? It's something that you hope to happen, right? Even in me saying that, right? The definition for us in the modern age is wish. The Bible, on the other hand, hope is an entirely different word. And so we're going to do a little word study today, kind of similar to what we did on, what was that, righteousness, maybe? We're going to do a little word study. We're going to go through some different passages in the Bible, and we're going to define what the word hope is. All right? We're going to define what the word hope is. So, first up, flip to Job 4, verse 6. We're going to be flipping all over the Bible today, so get your little fingers warmed up. If you don't make it, that's fine. We can just read it for you if you're taking notes. But I'd encourage you to stay along if you can. Job 4, verse 6. And now listen, I'm going to make you give me a definition of hope from this verse. So pay attention when I read it. Job 4, verse 6. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? What's a word that it relates to hope?
Confidence,
right? Alrighty, keep flipping. Job 31. Verse 24. Jordan, what did you read that when you get there? Job chapter 31, verse 24.
If I have made gold my hope, whereas said to be fine, to be the fine gold, to the fine gold, thou art my confidence.
Right. Once again, what word does it equate to hope?
Right?
We'll put another dash on that one. Okay, we'll keep going. Psalm 71, verse 5. Flip there. It's good sword drill practice. We're having camp again this year, you guys. So, supposedly. So you better be practiced up. Psalm 71, verse 5. Do you want a secret trick? If you write down the numbers first, you'll remember the book. But if you write the book first, you'll forget the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Just key advice there for when you get up to Thursday night and Bob's rattling off about 500 verses a second.
That's fair. I never.
Okay. Psalm 71, verse 5. Xavier, you read that for me?
For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth.
Okay, what does that relate to hope?
Trust.
Okay, we'll keep going. Now, if you guys were curious how to do a word study, right? How did I get these verses? Anybody want to say the magical word?
Concordance.
Concordance, yes, exactly. It's not hard to do a word study, right? But it's important to do word studies, right? Because, obviously, look, we're starting to, our hopes are looking a little different, aren't they? Just a touch. Jeremiah 17:7, let's flip there. Caleb, will you read that for me?
Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
Okay. Another trust, right? Mm-hmm. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. Bible study question. Why am I taking you to a million verses? Why didn't I just stop on that first one? Potentially so. Yeah, no, that's correct. Words can definitely have multiple meanings.
To show the consistency in the Bible?
Yep. Exactly, right? You want to, if you're going to have a belief or a principle, right, it's ideal that you should be able to see it carry through the Bible. You don't want to just take one verse out of context. That's how you end up with the charismatic movement, right? You take one verse and you take it too far. Philippians 1 verse 20. Do we need to actually make these sword drills?
No.
Xavier's like, please, please. I should have brought all my leftover Christmas candy and just given it away. Should I do that next week?
Not too late.
Kenzie, can you go home real quick? And do it next week. Man.
You're losing the sword drill.
You would think that I would be faster at that, but I am not. Alrighty, Philippians 1 verse 20. Elena, would you read that for me? Are you there? Or you're taking notes. I'm mean calling you out. Grayson, you got that one for me?
According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death.
Okay. What's the words it uses to describe hope in this verse?
Boldness.
I'll put that on there. There's another couple I was looking for.
Expectation.
Yes, sir.
Not ashamed.
And not just expectation.
Earnest.
Expectation.
And that's not like Ernest Goes to Camp Ernest. That is.
That's, you know, a pretty old reference.
That is a pretty old reference. I'm dating myself. Does anybody know what that is? Yeah, there we go. I'm not out of touch yet. Okay. Earnest expectation. What's earnest mean? Somebody? Anybody take a stab at it? Earnest? Just from context clues, can you put together what you think it might be? Earnest expectation. Earnest expectation. If you do something earnestly, what does that mean?
Like wanting to do it because you want to do it.
Yep, do it really well, right? It's like an extra oomph, right? Earnest expectation, meaning earnestly, like with a lot of...
Do it to the fullest?
Mm-hmm, exactly. A lot of... I don't know the actual definition, but you know what I mean, right? So this is not just... It's not just that I'm expecting something, it's that I'm, what? Really expecting something, fully expecting something. So... Kind of interesting here, right? Are those definitions the same right here? Are those the same?
No.
What's the difference, right? We thought this, and I mean, this is just kind of what we use nowadays, right? Is that it's a wish, right? In the Bible, it's a confidence. It's an expectation. Do you understand the difference there? Awesome. Here's a crazy thing. Flip to Romans 8, verse 24. Here to help you out. Romans 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope. Right? Hope's a little bit more potent now, right, than just wishing for something, right? Now, we don't just wish for salvation, right? Ideally, when you're saying, I believe that God died for my sins, I believe that someday when I die, I will go to heaven, right? That's an expectation, right? I'm sure the devil believes that God exists, right? He has faith that God exists. He has faith that God will probably win in the end. He has faith for all those things, right? But he's not saved, right? He doesn't have a hope. He doesn't have a confidence, right? There's unsaved people that believe God exists. I've met them, right? They say, yeah, I think there's a higher power. I think there's a deity, but they're not saved. How come they can believe but not be saved, right? Because you can have faith without having hope, right? You can believe something kind of exists without putting your hope in it, without having an expectation put behind it. So that's why it's different than faith. It's very interesting. Titus 3, verse 7, I'll just read this. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope. Voice cracked. Back up. Almost 30 and I can't get over it. I swear to goodness. Alex even brought me water. The hope of eternal life. Kind of interesting, right? Kind of interesting. It's a very different word. This is why it's important whenever you're going to a passage, you need to make sure when you read a section of the Bible that you know what it's saying, right? A lot of times in the Bible, you assume you know what a word means. Do you really know what it means in the Bible, though? A lot of times, if you're really studying a passage, the best thing you can do is look for every word and make sure that you've got the biblical definition.
What was the fancy word? Like you just
said. Did I say a fancy word?
Or just the word that you said that was odd.
Passion?
Yeah, that. Thank you. Not that that's odd.
I lost what word I said. I don't know. I just talk and I don't think about it. Don't you know? Alrighty, so flip back to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. This is what I kind of want to show. There are two main products of hope, two main results of hope. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. I'll wait for you guys to get there. First Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, Bible study word, right? If you see the word wherefore, right? It's saying because of something, right? It's a conditional. It's right. Here's this thing that causes this other thing, right? So what we just talked about, that hope, that salvation we get through that hope, right? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So, the first result of hope is comfort. It's comfort. A confidence produces a comfort. Let me show you what I mean here. So this, everybody's been wondering. I've done this before. Anybody who, I think Caleb might be the only one who knows what this is. The rope thing. Were you there for that? At camp, that one year?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. So this, we're going to say, is a timeline of your life. Starting right here, you're born right here. Okay? So this is at zero. I don't know. How long do you think we live to, right? We're confident that we'll live to like, I don't know, 80? Good round number?
90.
Say 80. 80. You want to be 90?
I like 90.
90's
good.
90's good? 90's good? Okay, so we'll put...
90's further away.
We'll put...
Too long.
Yeah.
We'll put 90, okay? So we got 90 years right here. This is the timeline of your life. So, zero, moving on up. You get married somewhere in here, or, you know, maybe have some kids, or maybe, I don't know, get a dog right there. You know, whatever, right? Moving along, hit 90. Yeah. Run into a bus or something, right? I don't know. Pick your mode of... I think that's actually not too bad. Let's be real. Let's be real. If I were to put my greatest fear on there, it'd be like dying slowly. Yeah, like chronic back pain. I don't know. But okay. So then here's the analogy I'm making, right? So this is your life. That's pretty big. And so this rope, this little tape I've got strung up along the wall, right? It continues timeline. This is eternity, right? Running around. It goes out there. It goes out through there. It goes under that door. And you can't see it, but it goes out the back window out back, you know, hops on Highway 40, hops on Interstate 70, and starts circling the globe, right? You know, it takes a ferry, goes underwater with the cables laid underwater, you know, goes around the earth a couple times. And then, you know, I got Elon Musk to shoot up a little bit of it, and it goes off out into eternity, right? So it's an example here of, right, I'm trying to show you a difference between how long your life is versus how long eternity is, okay? So here's the cool thing about hope. Hoping in salvation means that this can suck as much as it wants, right?
Amen.
But here, if we've got a hope, once we cross this line, we're living with Christ, right? We're living in paradise. So, this is where I'm starting. So we're going to look at...
Those are the good ones.
These are the good ones, I think. Okay. So here's the fears, right?
There you go.
Why those fears?
Okay. Well, do I need to shuffle these?
Sure. We don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Number one. Okay, see, I knew you guys would get spiritual on me. Okay, not being prepared to answer people's questions about the Bible. Hey, that's a solid fear. Okay, so where does that fear happen? I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, right, that stops right there, right? You can only be scared for that because once you're dead, you're out of luck. Okay.
I have all the answers once you're dead.
Exactly. Being kidnapped or taken from my family. That used to scare me out. Do you know the chick? Did you guys ever hear the story of Ann Slutty?
No.
She like got tracked around for like months, and they ended up like in a standoff in Canada. She's like from my hometown, got kidnapped from the Walmart I went to. So like my whole childhood, it was like famous news. Like, I mean, they had like him in buildings surrounded by like 100 cops, and he still get out with her. Like, just terrible situation. I think they ended up like burning him alive in the building or something. It was pretty gruesome. But anyway, long story short, I don't know who put that, but yeah, no, that is my, I was terrified of that. So, but I don't know, being kidnapped, I feel like that fear, like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, after a while, like, we all kind of get ugly. So, like, I don't know, right? No one's gonna kidnap me after 50, right? Like, I'm more apt to, like, get lost on my own than I am to get kidnapped after 50. Yeah, exactly.
It's not because you want it.
Okay, next one.
The probable kidnapping.
Okay. Snakes and a lot of people while roller skating. I like that. Those are legit. Those are legit fears, okay? I'm all about it. Okay, so like, I don't know. Where does this go in on this timeline?
Snakes for life,
seven.
Man.
Snakes for life. Snakes for life. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, big things in the dark while you're alone. Anybody who's been at this church with the lights out?
Gary.
Amen.
Alone.
Let me play hide and seek.
Yep.
You gotta have a buddy. You gotta have a buddy system.
Yeah, you do. It's true. Being murdered while alone. Yeah. Yep. There's a reason why I get really excited when, you know, I turn 21 and can carry a gun. That was pretty sweet, you know? You know, just, you know, kind of. But, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Being lost in a non-English-speaking country. That's a legit fear. That's awesome.
In, like,
okay.
An Asian one where everything is symbols.
Right?
And you can't even make out anything. I don't know whose fears these are, but I relate to all of them.
Yeah, and then they wouldn't like the gringo either. Okay, so we'll say, you know, you can be scared of getting murdered up until you die, right? And then it's like, well, what can you do, you know? Next one, the judgment seat. Ayo. Okay, that's a good one. That is fantastic to be scared of the judgment seat, right? Because that's technically like, I don't know, like...
That's on the door.
Technically, it's like Ages of Ages, somewhere in there, right? Like, the judgment seat happens here, but the impacts of it are eternal, right? That's a great one to be freaked out about. Not being able to witness or not being able to provide for myself in the future. Both very legitimate issues, right? Yeah. And I think that's the fear of providing, especially nowadays, yeah. When, like, dude, if you have, like, a single income, it's, like, almost impossible to live alone, at least at first. It's rough. You end up with terrible roommates for 5 years that, like, I have roommate stories, man. Remember the stories from the hood? That's the stories from the hood come from me being too poor to live by myself. So, yeah, that's a real thing.
That's funny.
Nice, Xavier. Nice. It's a good fair. It's a good fair. What? Hey, he'll get better. He'll get better. It's his brother.
No.
Well,
he said flip it over for the room.
Flip it over for the room? Oh, see, it's Quentin. Okay.
I mean, Quentin's kind of terrifying.
Okay. Xavier, do you mind if I read yours now, or do I need to shuffle it back in?
You can read it now.
Okay. Never being able to achieve what I want and what God wants.
Wow.
Big fear there. Yep, exactly. That's a lifelong fear. That's all the times. Like, am I going to screw up what the Lord gave me, right? Feeling like I'm not doing the best and that others might go to hell because of my slacking. Hey, it's another fantastic fear, right? But at the end of the day, right? Still ends right there. Yeah? Greatest fears. Not being able to accomplish something before I die and disappointing my parents. Those are both good ones as well. Right? So technically we could say accomplishing something before you die. I don't know. We'll dump it right there too. And last one.
Right,
dying alone. Yeah? Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. Okay, so here's all of our fears, right? There's all of our fears. Let's go look at some verses real quick before I talk about that. Job 11:18. Macy, will you read that when you get there?
Yes.
And thou shalt be secure because there is hope, ye. Thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety.
Yes. Look at the words in that passage. This stuff comes from hope. Thou shalt be secure, right? Thou shalt take thy rest in safety. This is what hope can do for you. Why can do hope do those things? Why, look at this, right? If all I'm hoping for is this right here, if I'm hoping for that salvation that's going to come, this red line that would be right there, then guess how little I care about all the stuff that comes before it, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm thinking about eternity and thinking about what happens here and here and there and over there at the judgment seat and over there, right? If I'm thinking about those things, how small does this section of the rope seem compared to the rest of the tape, right?
Really, really teeny.
Really, really teeny, considering that goes on, you know, a space shuttle to Mars. I just mixed Mars and Moon in my head at the same time and got Marn as talent, okay?
There's a fly for eternity.
Next up, Psalm 16:9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Right, what's he talking about? Look at this. My flesh shall rest in hope. My heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth. Right? It's someone that's not looking at life. Right? It's someone that's not looking at this little tiny sliver of life where all the things that we're worried about happens, right? If you're worried about eternity and not about the things of this life, then you get to rest in comfort. Why? Because our hope's in salvation. That has nothing to do with us. I can't screw up my salvation, right? No matter what I want to do, I can't screw it up. Thank goodness, right? So I can have comfort and rest in that. This is why the unsaved world's terrified, right? At the end of the day, they're chasing it so that I've got to get high enough up that I can make enough money, that I can be well known, that I can leave a legacy, right? They want to, you know, be rich, have a bronze statue of them that someday will get taken down by some woke group, you know, because that guy was a Christian, you know, or the guy was white or something, you know. Psalm 31:24, just a few pages to the right. I know I'm beating the point to death here, but this is how you learn the definition. 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 16 says this. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Everlasting consolation. What's consolation mean? Do you get a consolation prize? What is that?
Like someone feels bad for you.
Yeah, exactly. Someone feels bad for you. You get like a, you didn't win. And so they say, "Oh, here's a participation trophy, right?"
It's a pity prize.
What'd you say?
It's comfort.
It's comfort, right? Yeah. Well, but that's where I'm getting at. But you see, right, the everlasting consolation, right? Consolation, it's kind of, this is the way I think about it, right? I go through life, God knows that it's rough here sometimes. God knows that you're going to lose friends, you're going to lose family. He knows that there's going to be hard times. He knows you're going to get sick. He knows you're going to have struggles. He knows you're going to have pain, right? But then what? He consoles you, right, with an everlasting consolation. He says, yes, life sucks right now. It's going to stink for a while. You might not have fun. You might lose some friends. You might be a little bit uncomfortable. But then once you're gone, once you're in eternity, it's paradise forever. It's an everlasting consolation, right? One more verse, Hebrews 6:19, just a few pages to the right. Hebrews 6:19. Man, I missed an opportunity to do like a little hymn tie-in. Oh, man, that's rough. Hebrews 6:19 says this. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Right?
You just missed a major opportunity there.
I know. There's a whole stinking song about it, and I didn't even... Yeah. I tell you. But do you see the point that I'm trying to make here, right? All the point that these verses are trying to make, right? Is that, you know, the reason I had us put our fears up is because a lot of... If you were to take, so right now, go with me, okay? Make a pie chart, like an Excel pie chart, okay? Of all the stuff you think about during the day. You know, girls, Minecraft, Roblox, sorry. I'm screwed up, right? You know, the Mahomes, you know, I don't know what you guys think about. Yeah. Right? Whatever you guys think about, make a pie chart. A lot of what we get stressed out about, think about how much time you spend anxious, how much time you spend stressed out about your grades, how much time you spend stressed out about your mom or your dad or your siblings, right? Think about how much time you spend thinking about this little tiny little sliver. When God says, hey, you've got a consolation, it doesn't really matter what happens here. On the physical sense, spiritually, it matters what happens here. But right, it doesn't matter if your life is miserable. It doesn't matter if, you know, you go through some stuff for me at the end of the day, right? You get paradise for all of eternity with me. Opal, you're distracting. You can't do that.
Adorable.
I know, that's why it's distracting. If it wasn't adorable, it wouldn't be distracting. But so this is that hope, and this is the cool thing about it, is that God didn't leave us to just be depressed and lonely on this earth. He gave us an anchor, right? He gave us a promise. And so if we have hope, right, an earnest expectation, a confidence, a trust in what's going to happen at the end of our life, right, when we finish the race, it makes it a lot easier to live life a little bit more comfortable, right? If I know that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what happens to me, if I know at the end of the day that, you know, I can go to school and get made fun of for being Christian and have nobody be my friend, I can go to work and get kicked out because I tried to witness to someone. I can go, you know, do whatever, not put my pronouns up and get kicked out of work. Or I can take your pick. You guys are going to have to make lots of stands for Christ in your life. You can do that because you have a hope, right? Because at the end of the day, this life is just a little tiny measly chunk that you have to go through. This little speck, this little parentheses of time, and then you get to have blessings for all of eternity with the Lord, right? So that brings me to the second part. There's comfort, right? So we don't need to worry about the things of this life because we've got eternity ahead of us. That's a good time, right? But the second part of that in that verse, I'll flip back to 1 Thessalonians again. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, right? And edify one another. What does edify mean? Lift up, encourage. Yep. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Right? Lift up, encourage, teach. Like, benefit each other, right? This is kind of like iron sharpening iron. You're edifying each other, right? That's what I'm talking about here. And so, it's saying, hey, with this hope, you know, you can be comforted. Have comfort. Comfort each other. Someone's getting stressed out. You see your friend losing their noodle. You see their friend getting anxious about what's going on at school. You just remind them, hey, look, it's temporary. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We got paradise for eternity. And then there's the second thing that says edify, right? Flip to Psalm 78. Are your fingers tired yet?
Nope.
Good. Psalm 78, verse 7, when you get there. Psalm 78, verse 7 says this, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works in God, of God, but keep his commandments. Right? So this is, you're encouraged to each other, to encourage each other to be comforted, right? The next thing you're to encourage each other to do, right? Forget that, or encourage each other to remember that the stuff that's on this side matters a lot more than the stuff that's on this side, right? We, a lot of times, as friendships on this earth, and I get it, we get into, you know, earthly stuff. We help each other out on physical things. We play video games together. We work out together. We hang out together. We do all that stuff. We encourage each other. But at the end of the day, right, your body, your possessions, your essentially everything in your life outside of the things that are done for the Lord, right, all burn at this point in time, right? Opal, it's too much. Gotta stop. Right? Everything we do in life, the work you do, the college degree you get, the good grades you get, does any of that matter at this point in time? Even a little bit? Not even a little bit, right? So edifying each other, what does that say? Right? Saying that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Right? We're to encourage each other that, hey, those things that are filling up our time right now that don't benefit us eternally, just like, hey, brother, I want to remind you that that thing you're obsessed with right now that you spend 24/7 doing, and hey, I saw you skip church last week to do this thing. Hey, just a reminder, you know, like, this is a lot shorter than that, right? 1 Colossians 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister. Right? The gospel is a hope. Do you edify people with that hope? Do you remind people of their salvation when your Christian friends are, you know, living out in the world? Do you remind them, hey, we're saved, man. God died for our sins. We can live for something more than for work or school or money or grades or women or boys or Tom Holland or whatever. You know, take your. Is he still cool? He's probably not still cool.
He's Spider-Man. Is he?
Who's the cute guy now? Like, who's the guy that's girl's background? Is it still Tom Holland? I don't know why I'm looking at you.
I wouldn't put him in my background.
Zac Efron is ancient. He was the one in my generation. Exactly. He was cute in my grade. Yeah.
I think
it was
Marjorie
Trish. It was it? No.
Marjorie Trish.
Okay.
Yeah, Opal's putting in her opinion. You're not listening. Don't worry.
She doesn't get to like boys. We're just gonna pray the Lord comes back before she gets to dating age. The hope of the gospel. Last verse here for this. 1 Peter 3:15, I'll just read this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, set him apart, and be ready always to give an answer. Hey, we remember this verse, right? To every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, right? Bringing it back to that verse, right? Now that word hope has a little bit more meaning, hopefully, right? Oh, gosh, that was funny. Hopefully. Oh, wow. I used the wrong definition and the right definition in the same sentence. That's pretty stellar, right? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Here's where, right, if you've got this hope working in you, people will see it, right? So this is where you get to where this stuff, if you have a good hope, doesn't bother you, right? So that's why stuff can go crazy. The economy can collapse here pretty soon. The bubble can break. We can all be poor. All the toilet paper can be gone from the store when COVID hits, right? And you can choose to either be as cool as a cucumber, right? And realize that none of it matters. Or you can be just like everybody else in the world and get upset and get wound up like everybody else that doesn't have any hope. Our hope is a testimony. Our hope is an opportunity to show people what it looks like when the end of my life isn't here. That's the beginning of my life, right? It's different. It shows a contrast. And so I would just encourage you, right? If we truly expect that we're getting saved at the end of our lives, we should be able to get up every morning and forget about all of the fears, forget about all the things that we are, you know, getting into here. Forget out about all of our excitement, which I was going to pin our excitement on there. We'll do that here in just a second. We should be able to look further down the future. We'll do this. Now we've got them. I forgot to do this earlier. I even wrote it in, but I didn't do it. Okay. The thing you're most excited for, being able to achieve the ability to save people, preach, not as much as a personal hobby, but I want to get good at it. Right? That's a fantastic hobby. Why? Because when does that count? Does it stop right here?
No.
No. What are the two things that live forever? What's the old phrase?
Word of God and souls of men.
Word of God and the souls of men, right? Next up, we see getting married. Hey, getting married's awesome. I don't know who put that there. Yep, that is one of the things. I was probably the most excited for that. I, back in the day, used to be like, Lord, just don't come back until I get married. Like, if you can just, like, hang on until I get married, that'd be sweet, right? But look it, right?
You can come now.
That's exciting. Let's be really confident you get married at a nice, young, like, 20, 25, right there. Right? Right? But right, guess what? I mean, technically that has eternal impact, right? The person you marry is probably the most, outside of getting saved, the person you choose to marry is probably the most important decision you'll make in your life. Which we'll talk about, because one of these days, once we get done with this, we're doing dating. It's going to happen. It's going to be spicy. Right?
I hate that word.
Spicy.
When used in a different context than food, I hate that word.
Okay, this is good. So the first one, being more satisfied in my relationship with God than I am now. That's an awesome thing to look forward to, right? That's cool, because what? It's an eternal thing. And right, we can look forward to, because right here, guess what? We get to be one with him. And we're really, it's a good time, right? Second one, dating someone that motivates me and cares about me cares about the right things. Once again, it's a great thing, right? But once again, you know, it takes up a lot of our thought.
Right before marriage.
Yeah, pretty cool. That's a short engagement. Hey, I'm all about short engagements, don't worry. My parents got engaged in 6 weeks of dating. Kid you not.
It's not recommended.
Not ideal, but, you know, hey, it worked out.
It worked out okay.
When the Lord comes back, amen, right? That's something good to be excited about, right? That's something great to be excited about. Most excited for my future and my career, right? I think that's what most of us, if we were to actually be honest, right? I mean, let's just be real for a moment. We all knew to put the spiritual answer, but if we were to be real, a lot of us spend a lot of time looking forward to when I make the money, when I get the cool house, when I get the family, when I get the fortune, right? When I get to finally do all the things that I want to do. I think this is a very honest card, right? I think some of these last ones are very honest, right? But once again, your future goes beep, 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 beep. Toast, right? College. Hey, that's a fun one. That lines up with what I just talked about, though, right? College is great. College is great, and then nothing, right? Okay, now that's pretty good. Getting a goat and a donkey. I'm all about it. I don't know who that is, but I like it. I'm just saying, I know this is kind of morbid, but a goat and donkey ain't going to make it much past there. So, you know, that's a long-lived donkey if it lives that long.
Donkey.
Right? But I agree. I think we're going to have chickens this next year, maybe. Either this year or the next year, I'm excited. Little silky ones, little furry balls. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about it. Having a family. Hey, I've been... No, I'm with you. I've been excited for that forever. And once again, it does have some spiritual impact. There's nothing wrong with wanting a family, right? But once again, you know, if having a family is our motivation versus serving the Lord, right? Sometimes there are a lot of really good Christians that get really hung up with finding a spouse and getting married, and they spend about zero time building their relationship with the Lord, right? It's a thing that happens a lot. Zero time. Getting to lead someone to Christ. Amen. Ding, ding, ding. That's a great one. That goes on for eternity. And when Opal can talk.
Yay. Save the best for last.
That's my greatest fear. We'll put that right there.
That got put in the wrong pile.
Yeah. Okay. So, but do you get what I'm kind of getting at, right? We spend, look at where all these cards land. Look at how many cards land at eternity, outside of eternity, and look at how many cards land in just this little tiny life. Right, and the one over there, yep. So we've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 cards out of however many of you there are. I didn't fall. I don't know. I just thought this would be a good example of, you know, hey, look at where our heads are at in life. Look at where we're really focusing. And is that right? Just something to think about. That's all I'm getting at. So we're going to end up here. We'll wrap it up. How do I get more hope? If I'm short on hope right now and I need to get more confident in the Lord, how do I get more confident in the Lord? Romans 5. Obviously, we all start off with that base level of hope that gets us saved. But then how do we build on that? Start in verse 3. Heck, we'll start in verse 1. Why not? Bible's good. But 3 is where it gets spicy. You don't have to... Erica rolled her eyes. What do you want? Saucy? Is that better?
I don't know if that's a word.
Speppy? I don't know. Give me an alternative here. I've got to have...
Interesting?
I'm not going to lie. This is like my biggest fear about Sunday. I kid you not. It's not about whether like the content's going to be good. It's about what dumb like... phrase
Karen,
am I gonna
all
say?
Laughs from
you. Absolutely, we've got you.
Well, if you say something and no one laughs, I'll start laughing.
Well, like, I don't know. I appreciate that. I'm looking at Anna. I've already planning. I've already got my look at Anna cue. Just you know, yeah. So we're good.
That's what Jared Bradford said the first time he preached on Sunday. He was like, "You need to be there for me," and I was like, "I got you. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I got you."
Hey, us Jareds know who to rely on. So, alrighty. Verse 3 says, and not only so, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. What's tribulation?
Hardship,
right? We glory. So this guy is getting excited about when life gets hard. Why? That's kind of weird. Why do you get excited when life's hard? That doesn't make any sense. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. See the progression there? If you want more confidence in the Lord, you get more confidence in the Lord by him leading you through stuff, right? I had a hard time having faith when I was younger and hadn't gone through anything because it's like I hadn't had an opportunity to trust the Lord. I never gave him, you know, it's kind of what we talked about with faith last week, right? Do you put yourself in a situation where you have to trust in the Lord? Or do you ever do any of that, right? Or are you constantly relying on your own abilities? And this is also fun because it's like, hey, when life gets hard, guess what? That means that you can get out of it if you want. Something happens. Someone dies. God forbid, right? Someone dies. Hey, this is life, right? Someone's going to die in your life that you care about soon. That's what happens. I mean, once you get old, I mean, it happens, right?
This is a threat.
You know, college isn't going to go the way you want it to. I guarantee you.
Facts.
Not everybody in this room is going to graduate that starts.
Facts.
No, I believe it. Right? You're not going to get the job you want. You're not going to get the spouse you want. You're not going to get the boyfriend you want when you want them. Right? Right?
He's giving my testimony.
Right? But here's the thing. You can have two attitudes to that. You can have two responses to that.
Shh.
Okay. You can have two responses to that. Life gets hard, right? You can get pouty. Or I guess there's three. You can get pouty, right? Most of us do that. I do that. I feel bad about myself. You know? Get pouty. I can get angry. God, why aren't you giving me what I want? What's going on? Why? What have I done? You're supposed to bless me, Lord. Or you can say, hey, this is exciting because I can trust the Lord through this. And then on the other side of this tribulation, I can get some patience and learn to trust in you. And at the end of the day, I get more hope and more confidence in you. And guess what? With that hope comes what? Confidence, comfort, and edification, right? You get more of those things the more tribulations you go through. So you can either be excited about them and say, you know what, this is a miserable situation, but I'm happy and thankful to be here. Or you can say, woe is me, right? Yeah. Romans 15, a few more pages to the right. I'm going to make you guys tell me in this passage what this verse is saying is a way to get more hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. What do you do to get more hope?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. Hey, you know, it's the old answer, but it's the right answer, right? What that's saying, whatsoever things were written aforetime, right? The whole Bible for you, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope, right? The Bible talks about how all the stories in the Old Testament, all those passages, like why do they write about David? Why do they write on that stuff? Right? It's there because they're an example and an ensample to you, right? So you can follow them. You can learn how to have more hope through them, right? The Bible's through that. And then verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Right? At the end of the day, I know, I'm a broken record. Guess what? Easiest way to get hope? Ask for it. Right? Have an earnest heart. Pray for it. Do these other things too. God doesn't give out stuff for free. I mean, he does. He gives out a lot of things for free, right? But a lot of this stuff, he wants you to put in a little bit too. But if you put in a little bit, it's like the employee matching, right? You know? But you put in 10 cents and your boss pays 50, right? That's how the Bible works. You'll get more out of it than you put into it, I guarantee it. So, that's pretty much it today. But thank you, guys. And, Jay Wu, we're making eye contact. You pray us out. As always.